This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Excuse me, let me clear my throat. I got a little mango catching my throat. I was up this morning looking at the sun, crying really to the sun, why is no more mango on my tree? And lo and behold, the sun pulled away from the clouds and the pink mango shone through. And I said, thank you to the raccoons for not eating it, because raccoons got to eat too. A little mango in my throat this morning. But good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Your station for fresh news, smart talk, all day. It is Wednesday, the 28th of July, 2021, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And we are talking what's in the news. It's open line. Call in what you want to talk about. I'm going to give you the numbers in a moment. I'm talking about the new COVID restrictions and protocols. I'm talking about the vaccine protocol and all of the issues that we need to consider before we just push forward with a vaccine policy. I want to say good morning to my first texter of the morning. First of all, let me say thank you. This texter sent me a whole show's worth of questions, and I can be honest with you, a lot of these questions are excellent questions. I'm going to read a couple of them off as we go through the show. So let me give you that call-in information right now. You can call us at 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC and standard text rates apply. You can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612, or you can tune into my Facebook page, Erin Green, to listen on Facebook. We're also streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. And if you want, you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart device and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. As we get into the show, I have a brief message from the Ministry of Finance. Do you want more information about the budget? Well, the Ministry of Finance has updated the budget website and continues its mandate to provide Bahamians with full transparency and understanding of the annual budget. The Bahamas budget website has everything Bahamians need to know about key priorities, initiatives, and legislative changes that will impact their businesses, their families, and their futures. So go ahead and take a look. Visit bahamasbudget.gov.bs and find out what's in the budget for you. Well, good morning. There's so many things to talk about in the news. Yesterday, I touched on the Simone Biles saga at the Olympics and how the gymnast judging team had determined that they, in an attempt to protect the other gymnasts, would not score Biles' routine according to its level of difficulty. A texter and a couple of people in the audience messaged me and told me, listen, that's not really what happened. She was injured and she pulled out because she's injured. Well, after watching the news last night and following up on the story a bit more, it turns out that Biles withdrew because of a fragile mental state and did not want to risk her personal well-being trying to complete her routines in that state. And I will say this, if I were the most decorated gymnast in the history of gymnastics, performing at the Olympics, in the midst of discourse about how maybe we can't score her the way that she should be scored so as to protect other gymnasts. If my team didn't automatically stand up and protest and withdraw from the games, and not just the gymnast team, you know, the whole U.S. team should have withdrawn when a team of judges told one of its members that even though you're obviously the best, we can't score you that way because we may encourage other athletes to do things that they know they can't do. The whole U.S. team should have withdrawn. And if I were Biles, I would have done the same thing. And my mental state may have been a bit off balance because I would have been considering whether I need to have a stern word with the entire U.S. Olympic team about what it means to be a team and to stand behind your teammates. It's a very, very sad affair. And it's a shame that no matter how much we say that we're living in a post-racial world, that we're really not. So I just wanted to make that note. On another note, I have been following the news about the assassination of the Haitian President Moïse. It's a very heavy story. And you can see I have not been talking about it on air. I don't have enough information. Plus, it's a heavy, heavy thing. We all should be talking about it, though. Like, we need to find a way to talk about this. This is one of the most important things that has happened in the region in decades. But here's something I learned last night watching U.S. news, a story. The FBI detained a person, I think it's like a hedge fund manager, in this whole affair. And this person, I think, was charged or accused of facilitating a loan to someone who was involved in the attempted coup. You hear that? Somebody went to, like a hedge fund, they went to a financial institution to get a loan to essentially fund a coup. Do you know how legitimate you have to think that coup is to get receipts for your loan? Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there because this is really a heavy situation. And just like this, the case, the story of the woman who was given, I think, probation after kidnapping a number of young boys, it's something that we should not really delve into unless we have the experts with us. But isn't that interesting? I got a couple of texts here. Let me go to the text. Good morning, Miss Green. Two straight, maybe four. Another text. I can't read that. That's an advertisement. I can't read that on there. I'm sorry. Texter. Here's another text. Great show. As usual, question. Why was I demonized for my text yesterday about I want to open up a gentleman's club? A lot of revenue is earned in that. How come when a black man have idea, he is bashed? You are from Fox Hill, Ms. Green. I'm from Fox Hill. You're supposed to support my ideas and encourage a fellow Fox Hillian, even though I'm from the Albany part of Fox Hill. Well, dear texter, first of all, the language that you used yesterday was not gentleman's club. And that's why I did not read it on air. It took me aback. It shocked me. And I couldn't find the right language to say it reasonably. But gentlemen's clubs, I think, are technically not allowed. I mean, you know, in the way that things are not allowed unless you get special permission to do them, right, from the special authorities, in that way. But no, I'm not going to promote that. There's so many other things you could do with your brilliant mind. One more text before we go. Ah, here we go. You think the PM giving us the mini $3 lockdown when he comes on tonight? I'm going to talk about what I think the Prime Minister is going to say in a minute. Another text, the Haitian president assassination, the more they dig into it, the weirder the situation is. Listen, you're absolutely right. The more that is revealed, the more amazing this story gets. And I'm not being trite or trivial with the experiences of the Haitian people. I just want, you know, I say this in the context of the idea that imperialism has never died. And the same forces that set upon Haiti hundreds of years ago have gone nowhere. And so, indeed, it gets curiouser and curiouser. Another text, Aaron, I think it's a lame excuse by Biles and other young athletes using this mental health excuse when they don't get what they want. Naomi, the tennis player, used the same lame excuse. I don't believe them. Well, I wish I, unless I've, I think I'm going to try and organize a conversation with sports professionals, because I know we have sports psychologists in country, right? We have these professionals. And let's have this conversation. But I think in particular in Biles' instance, the moment or the decision to pull out of the games, despite the issue with the judges' scoring policy, right? The routines that she pulls off require a degree of composure and emotional and psychological and mental balance for the performer, for the athlete's own safety. So I can appreciate why she pulled out. She looked visibly unstable and shaken, right? On camera. So I could appreciate that. But see me, I petty, I Bahamian and I petty. I had to pull out. The judge is messing with me and it's obvious that it doesn't make any sense. You're going to penalize me for being obviously better than my competition? That make any sense? Yeah, I had to pull out. And my team who refused to support me, all us is coming home on Bahamas Air. All. Be fair or don't play at all. Got another text here, Miss Green. It's rough and hard out here economically. Where will we go? Well, I can tell you what to do. Start planting food. You don't need to own your own property to plant food. You don't need, you could live in a rental unit and plant food. You don't need to plant a farm. You just need to start planting and producing small quantities of food that you can use to supplement what you purchase or to trade or barter with your family members and community members. I know you think I'm joking. I'm not joking. The beginning of the solution is to start planting food. I see we got a caller on the line, Arlington. Let's go to that caller. Good morning, caller. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing this morning, sis?
I am good. Thank you, DeWitt. How you do?
I am. Man, listen, once God opened my eyes in the land of the living, and I feel that my people throughout the Bahamas have something to eat or something hot on their chest, I'm great.
Yeah, man. Listen, DeWitt, I wanted to make this point. After you called yesterday, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for letting me sort of whittle down your contribution
yes,
to those key points. But, you know, on the radio all day yesterday, I heard people saying the same thing that you were saying,
yes,
raising the same concerns that you were raising. And I heard people who seem to be intimately involved in the healthcare system engaging
the
public airways.
You know, because me in particular, I can only speak for me, right? When I call a talk show, you got some people be listening, waiting for me to call, to text. But, you know, I am a Bahamian, Aaron, my mama and my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I contribute back to this country in some way, in some form, in some fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a right to call and speak. When
yeah.
I have to, when I have, me personally, Aaron, when I have to text you to say what I have to say, then I feel like I don't have a voice.
Yeah.
All right? There are so many people in this country that wants to call your talk show, but they're scared to call your talk show because they believe that they'll be victimized when people hear their voices, especially if they're working for these government departments.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people has talked to me, Aaron, and that's one of the reasons why I take my time to take the blows, whether it's good blows or bad blows from anyone, texters or callers.
Yeah.
I see the separation of people, Ms. Green, and every day you have people call your talk show and they're telling you what's going on. And then you have this person named Peter. His name is Peter Knowles. I like to say F and M. Peter, keep
okay,
your call.
Hold on. Don't call people name. I know what you're saying. And I know you're all
right,
in
you
a...
And they're taking this for a joke, Ms. Green.
I know,
this,
but...
This is what has hurt me in this country.
Hold on. No, DeWitt. I know you all are in... A lot of people are in a political space together, but people outside of that space don't understand the familiarity with which you guys engage each
that's
other.
That's what I'd be trying to tell people, Ms. Green.
Yeah.
The simple fact is you have some people support they support their political party, but before it comes to politics, is the needs of
people
first. I keep trying to tell people that.
Right.
All right, if at the end of the day, if push comes to shove and they ask me, you know, a dumb question someone asks me, what do I choose? Would I choose to be a behemoth or a PLP? I say that's the most dumbest question you could ask a person. I ain't triple over politics. Yes, I love my party. Yes, I love my people in my party. But, Ms. Green, I'm not putting the people's needs in the front of politics. I can leave this with you before I go.
Yeah.
Leslie Miller, and I sure you know him. Miller's like a dad to me. Everyone knows that. And Miller tell me something. DeWitt, as long as you speaking out for your government, speak on behalf of the poor people or the less fortunate who have less than you. At any time when people in your government have a problem with you speaking out for the poor people, then you speak against them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have a good day, Aaron.
Yeah, man, DeWitt.
Keep your head up, sis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But to that point you make, DeWitt, right?
Yes, ma'am.
People are always deeply in the politics. But you know why? Because politics is the framework they use to navigate the world around them.
That's right.
See, it's like the same thing with the Bible. A lot of millennials, a lot of young people, a lot of, I'm going to say new age thinkers, but a lot of people that are in the intellectual class will say, oh, these Bahamians always rely on the Bible. They fundamentalists. And I'll say it sometimes too, right? That a Bahamian will quote scripture as an analogy, right? Or as
right.
a reference to the thought that they're having. And it's because the Bible is the tool or the framework, right? Like that's the tool that people use to understand the world around them.
But the Bible.
That's not a bad thing.
Sometimes people use the Bible to satisfy their points, you know. You got to understand that too.
Right, but that's a common thing that we all do, right? Like we find something that we think supports our
narrative
position.
Or whatever.
Right, and we say, oh, that proves it. Look, that proves it. But that's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is this, is that what the politicians and the political class have done, right,
yes,
is they have overwhelmed us with politics to the point that they've convinced us that this is how you have to think about the world. So when I'm here, right, so I'm here thinking about an issue.
Right.
And the politicians will say, well, you know, if we do this, the opposition is going to say A, B, and C. And, hold on.
I just want to say one thing to you. One second before I go. Yesterday, I used the word blame,
mm-hmm.
right? And let me show you something, Ms. Green. That's why I try to choose who to call and wait until the conversation comes up. When I use the word blame,
mm-hmm.
I never use the word blame to say, well, blame Mr. Menace because of the parties, blame Mr. Menace because they ain't wearing no mask. I use the word blame to describe that since he became the competent authority, right, and he didn't take any advice from whether it's the opposition or whether it's from the DNA or whether it's from the private doctors, so you got to blame him. But everybody, oh boy, Ms. Green, have a good one, darling.
Yeah, man, do it. You get it out, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Gone.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, man. What you do is you get it out in small ways. It could be overwhelming, right? It could be overwhelming. But the point I was making is that when people can only talk about politics, understand that they live in a space that is overwhelmed by politics. And the politicians, instead of using academic data, instead of using the social scientists, right? Instead of using the cultural stakeholders, and culture, they can only talk in politics. And so the politicians only give us information in a political context. And that's the framework that people see the world in. So I get frustrated with it, but it's important to understand it. Now, here's an example of where it becomes problematic. In the pandemic and the state of emergency, there were contributions, suggestions, complaints, critiques, information, models being shared from all sectors of society, from people on the ground in the Bahamas and Bahamians living abroad. But every time the government, the competent authority, engaged the voices coming to them, they always spoke about, oh, this is just politics and people are playing politics. These aren't genuine suggestions. These aren't real contributions. This is just the PLP playing politics, people in opposition playing politics. When in truth, you had academics, you had social scientists, you had advocates, you had business people with no particular political affiliation attached, wanting to contribute to the discussion. But the government framed it as a political discourse, that any critique about what we're doing is viewed as political opposition. And I hope that example clears it up. I got another text here. I don't know, Miss Green, if I train hard for 4 years in a sport like swimming, I wouldn't quit just because Biles did. This might be my only chance to compete at the Olympics. Well, see, the Olympics is more than just how strong am I individually, right? Like physically strong. The Olympics is also supposed to be a space where we display and manifest other important principles like integrity, like loyalty, right? Like humanity. It ain't just about who is the fastest and who could make the most money. But if I on a team with you and I'm the best and it's obvious that I'm the best and the judges say, well, we can't give her a score that indicates that she's the best because other people may try do what she's doing and hurt themselves, and y'all don't get up in protest? Nah, it just seems icky. Got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Awesome. It's been a while since I called your show, but I listen to you very often every morning.
Thank you.
I want to say congratulations to the essence that you bring to your topic. For we as Bahamians to understand and have a candid conversation between each other. I'd just like to piggyback a little bit on what David has said.
Yes.
And I must give it to my brother. He is one of those that's very passionate about the topics that he likes to talk to, especially concerning the poor among us.
Mm-hmm.
He is absolutely correct and spot on. You know, these political parties, I look at the political parties as only a vehicle to get messages out. Nothing more, nothing less.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line that we have right now, and this is what irks me, if you really notice online, we have all kind of tons of groups where Bahamians are part of. And yet, out of all of those groups, we cannot find a group, a singular group, that has Bahamians from any political divide to come into that group and actually talk about national issues and the solutions, mm-hmm. how to bring about actually sitting around a table and having a candid discussion between all of us as Bahamians,
mm-hmm.
not as a DNA supporter, a PLP supporter, or FNM, but coming on the radio to talk about the solutions of this country, the issues and finding solutions, whereas we as a group or a body of people can present a white paper or present papers to our government or even come on the airwaves and actually talk about them. This is the problem that we have. We have allowed these political parties to separate us as a people.
Yeah.
And as long as you are separated as a people, the strength that you have is diminished significantly. Nobody's going to take you seriously. And it's people like myself who many consider me as a nationalist. I think about country first. I don't think about political party that I'm a part of, but country. Because once we heal the country, then the Bahamian people will then be, the process will be, of healing will begin. But as long as we allow ourselves to be separated by PLP, FNM, BNH Independent, Coalition of Independence, and all this nonsense, we as a people, we are not moving forward in progression, and we are not moving forward upward onward, and we are not doing it together. And until we as a people understand that and believe that, take that to heart, that we are doing ourselves an injustice by letting these political parties separate us, Aaron.
Yep.
We are not going anywhere. So I just wanted to share that with the public. Let's get past these party colors. Let's get past these party affiliations and focus on ourselves as a people, as Bahamians. Thank you for taking my call, Aaron.
Man, absolutely. Thank you very much for sharing that. I think you're absolutely right. You know, I'll go even a little further. I was disappointed when somebody either texted or called earlier this week or last week to say, why would I expect the PLP in opposition to be able to implement a temporary employment program, right? And I was so upset because, first of all, you are the mighty PLP. And if you can't do that, I mean, I could be honest with you, I saw some of your campaigners advertising PLP yellow tennis shoes, right? And so I say to myself, these guys in your party have the agency and the initiative to try and make a couple dollars and organize everybody, right? So you look cute while you're campaigning to get yellow shoes. But your party machinery has convinced them that they don't have the agency and the ability to do something as simple as a temporary employment program. You see what they did? What the PLP did? They disempowered and emasculated their own members and tried to convince their own members that their own members can't do anything without them. And then, on top of it, and none of us could do anything unless y'all put us in power. Y'all understand how insidious that is? How horrible that is for you to emasculate and disempower the people who running and working with you in that way? How could the mighty PLP tell me or anybody in this country that we should not expect them to be able to do something as simple as that if they're not in power? But the reason that we suck it up and swallow it up, right, is because our collective consciousness has been consumed by the political culture. See, the lazy politicians win that way. Listen to what they're saying. We can't prove to you we deserve to be here until we get here. Hear that? We can't prove to you we deserve to be here until we get here. You remember those PSAs, those after-school PSAs about substance abuse? That's what substance abusers say to you. Right? And that's the danger of the political class consuming everything, including the way that we think. And we cannot allow that to happen for many reasons. But most of all, why are we investing in academia? Why are we investing in social and cultural institutions if all we're going to do is let the politicians make every single decision for us in the laziest manner possible? See, that's another point there. I mean, let's start at the bottom, right? Let's start at the bottom. I see your callers. I come into you. I may just make this note, and then I'm going to get to my callers. And the note is, in the midst of the pandemic and the demand for systems that can balance the rights of individuals and the need to provide effective and efficient solutions, the government refuses to spend the resources necessary to strike this balance. But what I find interesting is that nobody has taken a pay cut yet. We're going to rest that right there, and then we're going to go to the phone line. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller, you there? I guess we don't have that caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hello, Aaron.
Hey, good morning.
Oh, yes. Listen.
Yes, sir.
The settlement that you have Express just a few minutes ago has always been like that from Sir Lyndon days. We had it a little bit better under Sir Lyndon because he was actually trying to create a new wave and a new road to bring the people from slavery or the service industry. But he never paved a true main highway to cause Bahamians to avail themselves the opportunities to truly build themselves and create a new ideas to develop our country. All right?
Yeah.
And these guys today, under the leadership of Brave Davis, Brave Davis is a joke. He is full of all that you could ever think of that the past what was handed down to us. That's all Brave is. Now, with the leadership of a Chester Cooper, there's a possibility for innovation and vision. But with Brave Davis, where could Brave Davis take us? And he couldn't even give water to Cat Island when he was the Minister of Works or the Deputy Prime Minister of our country. He had to let Hubert Minnis come and give Cat Island water. Man, he's a joke.
Boy, that's a heavy indictment, one that needs to be considered. Thank you very much, caller. Okay, I got to go to a break. It's been a long time. Now, texters and callers are coming back to you after this break. So please stay tuned to 96.9 FM, Guardian Radio.
Make it count this time. Census 2021 for your family line. You better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock that's up for two. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell below. Knock it down on your calendar. Census 2021. This one's for everyone.
Hello. I am Brenda Smith, Senior Manager of Training and Development and Coordinator of the Vaccination Program Health at the Sandilands Rehabilitation Center. For many persons, contemplating taking the vaccine can be daunting. But by getting the facts, you are placed in a better position to make an informed decision. I am happy to say that I am fully vaccinated. It was a decision I made after weighing the benefits of taking the vaccine versus the risk of not taking it. By getting vaccinated for COVID-19, I am not only protecting those I encounter, but also protecting myself from becoming very ill if exposed. I can't tell you how important that is for persons like me who have chronic health conditions like diabetes and hypertension. The trainer in me encourages you to learn the facts about the COVID-19 vaccine and compare the advantages and disadvantages. Remember, the greater numbers vaccinated, the greater opportunity for us to return to life as usual.
This message has been brought to you by the Public Hospitals Authority and the Sandilands Rehabilitation Center.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green on this Wednesday, the 28th of July, 2021. Okay, guys, I've got 13 minutes left. Now, let me tell you, let me just go through a bit more what I wanted to talk about, and I'm going to get straight to these texts. Did y'all notice the transformation of Prince George Wolf? Did y'all notice how different that is? Listen, I-45. My generation, the generation above me, the two generations below us, we got to document this. We have to document this. The whole of Nassau town is changing, and guess what? You know what the worst part is? I have the feeling that very few of us Bahamians were integrally involved, intimately involved, inherently, because inherently means you're naturally a part of it, right? In the design decisions for the reshaping of Nassau town. And at the very least, go document it, right? Anyway, this is a whole big discussion we have to have, but not today. Voters cards. I heard that the minister was explaining to us that they don't use whiteout on voters cards. And I wanted to explain to the minister that that white image is a part of the white thing is a part of the digital image. And it is not on the card itself, sir. It's a part of an editing tool to hide personal information from the public when sharing the image. But if you wanted to know why there's a whole lot of vaccine hesitancy, it's because of things like that, sir. It's because of things like that. You didn't know that that wasn't white out? You didn't know. Also, you didn't know that they ran out of cards? You didn't know that the Parliamentary Registry's office didn't have any more cards? Y'all didn't figure that out? And nobody thought it prudent to take a pay cut so people could buy cards, so people could vote? Since y'all, your very same politicians, keep telling us that the only real power you have is when you come to vote. You couldn't even get new cards? Anyway, also, there's a new tax that was passed in the budget. I don't know when, I don't know how. We was too busy laughing at Moultrie and Miriam Emanuel. But there's a processing fee for cargo coming in via the airways. And the fee is $3.35. And I heard Nahasha Black and co-host musing on what an odd number 335 is. And I did some investigative research. And did you know that if you add the VAT to 335, it comes to 3752. And if you round down, it comes to 375. And so I want to ask Customs and the government, one thing. Y'all ain't going to charge VAT on this fee. Because it is round right up nicely to 375 if you put VAT on it. Are you going to charge VAT on another tax? Because you already taxing a couple taxes. In fact, you taxing all the taxes with VAT. We just want to know, not only is there a new tax, but are you going to VAT that too? Also, things I was supposed to be talking about today, but we're running out of time. I want to get to the callers in the text. I want to talk about this discussion of mandatory vaccines, right? And I saw the Minister of Health, Wells, say that the government is not considering that currently. The government is not considering that currently. Now, the headline says, in the Tribune says, mandatory vaccines ruled out. Right? I like that. Heavy. Strong. Ruled out. But the Prime Minister is going to have a talk with us this evening about the August end of deadline for the state. I'm already flustered. I'm already scared. Because I'm certain that this gentleman said that there's no need to worry about it. They don't have any intention of extending the state of emergency. Don't stress yourself out. And here we are, getting ready to hear the most famous words in the history of the Bahamas. My fellow Bahamians and residents. So, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to need a couple of things. I'm going to need a more definitive statement from the powers that be on the question of mandatory vaccines. And then I'm going to need people in the AG's office to read the Tribune business section, the article headline, attorney, colon, amend laws for mandatory vaccines. Pardon me, what, sir? Pardon me, what? A Bahamian attorney yesterday urged the government to reform health and safety at work laws to allow employers to mandate that staff get vaccinated against COVID-19. What? We have not even had a conversation about mandatory vaccines. And in fact, let me put it to you like this. earlier when I was on Lester Cox's show, I made this point. If you are a candidate, potential politician, you want to be a politician, and you don't use the words archipelagic exterior in your discourse, in your discussion about policy, we ain't voting for you. Because you don't understand what it means to run a country with a family outer islands, with a family of outer islands. You get it? And in the same way, I don't want to hear anybody talking about mandatory vaccines unless they're talking about the Nuremberg Code, unless they're talking about international law, unless they're talking about human rights principles. See, this is getting reckless here. This is getting very reckless. I hear a lot of people talking about what needs to happen to the unvaccinated, what needs to happen to the unvaccinated to protect the vaccinated, the people who are serious about their health. But did you see the CDC just said that vaccinated people should be wearing masks because they can also transfer the Delta variant of COVID? Right? It turns out that no matter what you think of unvaccinated people, they are at a greater risk than vaccinated people from these things. Anyway, this is a very heavy conversation, but I needed to put this out there because it's as if we've forgotten that this is a human rights issue. It is one that has to be delved into. It's like the LGBTI rights issue. We have to talk about it. It's going to make us uncomfortable, but we can't stop talking until we strike balance. This, my friends, is a human rights issue. And I expect to hear members of the legal community engaging the public and the government on this subject. I expect to hear it, but I can be honest, this is not what I expected to hear. Bahamian attorney urged the government to reform health and safety at work laws to allow employers to mandate and staff get vaccinated against COVID-19. See, here's another point. If the state of emergency is going to end in the early part of August, and the government has promised that they're going to implement ordinary legislation to cover or to provide for some of the provisions that were in the COVID protocols, where is that legislation? And when will we get a chance to see it? See, because y'all like to play this game. Remember, I was talking earlier. When we give critique, you like to brush it off by saying, oh, this is just oppositional politics. But when it's time to come and talk to the people, you barely talk to the opposition and pretend like you're talking to all of us. But we want to see that legislation, and we want time to delve into it. And if the legal community refuses to assist us, you got to give us time to figure it out without them. These are important things, my people, that we need to focus on. There aren't two pandemics. There aren't two worlds. And we will all suffer the consequences of all of our actions. So we have to start talking together as if we share this planet with each other and not as if one group has more rights than the other. All right, I'm going to get to these texts. Morning. Some callers refer to the CDC, WHO, an FDA website and respective qualified doctors in molecular cell science, but some very limited journalists using the platform to call everything conspiracy, even though it's true. It's becoming scary when the medical and political status quo believe everyone should say yes to a vaccine in clinical trials. No one can say no. Then they call only be dumb and blind and not thinking. Shame on you, confirmed weak souls. Text, I read the text just how it was written. Another text. I'm your biggest fan. In June, we celebrate Pride Gay Month. What is this all about? In July, Disability Pride Month. I didn't know that July was Disability Pride Month. I didn't see anything from the differently abled community. But stay tuned, because tomorrow I'm going to have a disabled community rights advocate on the show. And I just saw a note I saw a story in yesterday's paper about the Bahamas Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. So thank you for that note and tune in tomorrow for that discussion. Good morning, Aaron. While I agree with Dwight about the lack of food, but the lack of food existed for years. No party has solved this problem. Our children suffered in school due to the lack of proper nutrition. I get you. I'm going to peg a show very soon about food sovereignty and food security because I think we've been misusing some of these terms, including myself, a bit. Another text. Aaron, Ms. Green, I like your show. I like how DeWitt brings his message. I don't do politics in no way, but that guy really talks for the poor people. Keep up the good work. Aaron looks like Leslie Miller. Tough DeWitt well. Todd DeWitt well. Thank you. Nah, Aaron, for the Olympics itself, it displays and measures physical prowess. However, I get what you're saying. Stand with your people when they are mistreated. It's almost as if y'all forgot when Jesse Owens got up and did his thing. And it's like you forgot when the three brothers, the two brothers and the white boy, them put up their fist. I don't think the white boy put up his fist, but he was there in solidarity. He may have been a bit scared. It's almost as if y'all forget these things are in our recent history. Another text. Good morning, Ms. Green. All you can talk about is the PLP. So much things happening in the country. You certainly disappoint me. Okay. I'm sorry. Another text. What role does the public play in the low level of discourse in this country? What is the average Bahamian's criteria for determining a representative? What you gonna give me? Do I like you? Which really means, am I threatened by you, jealous of you, or insecure? Dear texter, this is such an important point you make. While I focus on political reform, we also have to focus on voter reform. And the power is really in the hands of the public, the voter, the electorate, to reshape this process. Remember, it's a minuscule percentage of them and a massive percentage of us in comparison. We can change the way we do politics by simply in changing the way we engage politicians and demanding that they follow suit. It's very simple. I want to thank you, Texter, but the public need help. The public need help organizing themselves, collating their thoughts, and then bringing other people's voices to the table. So I could see the people who feel and think the way that I do about similar issues, find them, get to them, talk more with them, right? It's up to us. We could do it. Just a couple more texts. If you think downtown Nassau was flooding before, wait till they finish the wharf. But I could be honest with you, I'm still waiting to see the EIA. Still waiting to see the environmental impact assessment. Another text, you really make me laugh. You're really funny. I don't know if you're officially a stand-up comedian, but if you decide to be, I would be in the front row. Thank you very much, Texter. Shout out to The Spot. Hi, did they chase all my turtles out of the water before they filled that waterway? Hi, I want to know who is selling the fill for the new Prince George Wharf, how much it costs, and where is it coming from? Hi, the CDC is saying the vaccinated people are creating the new Delta variant. No, I have not read that. We cannot say that yet, but I will investigate that. What I read the CDC saying is that vaccinated people can pass it on to other people. Couple like coming right now. Couple more texts. Good morning, Ms. Green. Just let me know which group's trying to force vaccination so I never vote or affiliate with them. You have to ask them the tough questions. The vaccinated people get swing because they were promised special treatment and extra hours. That would be discriminatory, and the vaccinated people didn't take their vaccine for that. Ma'am, you're talking about LGBT rights. We need to talk LGBT limitations. How far they want to go? Bet you won't read this. Well, they want to go as far as you thought you could get just now with that texter. I mean, that was, you know, that was a live text. I got to go. I don't even have time to respond to it. But here's what I'm going to say. You's a Bahamian and I's a Bahamian. And wherever you could go, I could go. And wherever I could go, I can make sure you could go too. But only if you want. I got to go because Levon Miller is on his way into the studio. It's 11 a.m. Stay tuned. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio and enjoy your day.